of Jesus. We thank you for allowing us to come along on the journey. Taking us from where you found us in the lowest state of our life. Taking us on the journey. Paul says that now that we know what it's like to travel with you, now that we know what it's like to be in your company, we press toward the mark. The mark of the high calling. Standard above every standard. Pinnacle of every potential. That can only be found in Christ Jesus. He says we press, we make it our life's journey. We make it our priority. We make it the most important thing we'll ever do. And now that we have, as the writer declared, taste and seen, and know for ourselves that the Lord is good, we're more determined than ever to finish the race. As a way of encouragement, one writer told us that the race is not always given to those who run the fastest or those who are the strongest. But the writer encouraged us by saying it is given to those that endure. And so, God, we thank you for just giving us a hang on in there kind of spirit. That when we thought to quit, we didn't quit. When we wanted to quit, you wouldn't let us quit. And so, God, we won't turn back. We're going to press our way. We're going to rise, shine, and give you the glory. We're going to hold on to your unchanging hand. We want to see your face. Now that's what the old church used to tell us. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Dear sir, would you keep the doors open for us? Keep the light burning. Make the way clear. For Lord, we long for your appearing. Now again, God, give us listening ears and let us finish what we started. Let your name be glorified. Make our ears ready. Make our hearts ready. Speak to us, sir, that we would see Jesus. Forgive us of our sins and let all things pass away. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen. Amen. And amen. Come on with a voice of triumph. Shout unto the Lord. Come on, give God some praise and glory. Come on, let him know that you're a winner. Let your neighbor know that you're a winner. Let Lynchburg know that you're a winner. Let all of the Commonwealth know that I am a winner. For I'm more than a conqueror. Look at another name and tell them, I can handle this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got this. Amen. Amen. In the book of Nehemiah, in the 4th chapter, we began our conversation on last week, and I promised that I'd come back and close the matter to the point where we felt ourselves a little more encouraged because we found out they were listening to their leader. They took the report of Nehemiah and said, "We got this." Amen. So I just want to lift up again our central thought and then thought rather, and we're going to get long as quickly as we can. I know some of you got some leftover ribs you want to take care of. Nehemiah 4, I'm just going to lift up the same verse I lifted on last week, and we'll continue the conversation together. In verse 10 and the last clause of the verse, read to before us from the New Living Translation, workers are getting tired. Yes. And there's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, Pastor asked you last week, and it seems like he wants to ask you again. Who told you you can't?" Amen. God bless you. Who told you that you can't? Again, I thought about it a little more, and I didn't want to add too many more topical points to the sermon, for I knew that we had taken up enough of your time. But I thought about what it means to be encouraged, what it means to have somebody in your corner to spur you on or to give you that additional inspiration. Nehemiah is, in my opinion, a giant among motivational speakers or motivational leaders, because in all reality, the circumstances are against him. The situation is critical, and he does not come with anything that's greater than his faith. And I thought about how when things start happening in our lives, we often find there's no shortage of people who will discourage us. Some of you can testify that there have been undertakings in your life that when they did not go well, there was no shortage of folk who came to you and said, "I told you. You shouldn't have started that. You shouldn't have tried. You should have left well enough alone." We've all got people like that. People who will come along and look at our situation and look at certain events in our lives or certain moments in our lives and declare them critical or fatal. That's over with. You might as well let that go. They do it in relationships. They do it when it comes to our employment. They do it when it comes to our potential. There's always somebody in the peanut gallery that will try to convince you to let it go. Tell you that what's happening to you is the worst thing that can happen to you. It's the worst time that it can happen to you. And so I thought, why do we let folk like that even hang around us? Why do we let folk come into our lives that rather than encourage us to push past the pain, tell us that the pain is so great that we ought to just die? Why do we allow folk to get in our inner circle that are not really for us? There's always an army of quitters. You always got folk who tell you to be satisfied. That's good enough. That's how it is. That's where it's going to be. You can't change things. But nudge your neighbor and tell them, "I'm a game changer. I like to change things. I like to shake things up. I'm a big baller, shot caller. I like to shoot, move, and communicate. I like to improvise, adjust, overcome. I like to rattle up the thing a little bit. I'm not satisfied with status quo." Anybody feel like that in here? Anybody tired of status quo? So it is,
You need to recognize that when people tell you that you can't, you need to tell them that they lying. You tell them, you don't know me like that. Look, matter of fact, that's your initial comeback from here on. Whenever folk tell you that you can't, just look at them, tell them, you don't know me like that. In fact, my challenges are my call to duty. Yeah, next time something in front of you that seems insurmountable, get your hiking boots on. Amen. One of my favorite cartoons is Peppa Pig. I like Peppa Pig. You got grandchildren, you start like cartoons. And one of the anybody else know Peppa Pig? Because some okay, everybody know Peppa Pig. That there's a rule, that there's one rule that constantly streams through Peppa Pig's life. And that rule is, if you're gonna jump in muddy puddles, you must wear your boots. It's that simple. The rule is, Deacon Campbell, if you're going to jump up and down in muddy puddles, you must wear your boots. Now, see, some of y'all are thinking, why would anybody want to jump up and down in muddy puddles? Well, it's fun, first of all. How many of you know that after it rains and you go outside, there's always a muddy puddle? And you can listen, you can have the, now see, some of you Nintendo and PlayStation folk generation, y'all don't know nothing about running outside, jumping up and down in muddy puddles. Y'all ain't never had a good mud cake and a mud pie. Y'all ain't never ate dirt like we used to eat dirt. We knew the flavor between beach dirt and backyard dirt. Amen, somebody. We built things out of sticks and stones. We were creative in our mind. But one thing we didn't know, mama said, if you're going outside and jump up and down in muddy puddles, you must wear your boots. Well, what I'm saying, beloved of God, by illustration in the body of Christ, if you're going to ever get anything, you got to gird up your loins. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to get suited for what you're going up against. And so it is, Nehemiah comes to town and the people listen to him. Amen. They found him as a voice of encouragement. And his voice of encouragement led to them raising their expectations. And whenever you hear encouragement, you got to raise your expectations. Let me see, Jess, if I can slide one more in. Those of us who remember being in grade school, we remember the little engine that could. Yeah, the little engine that could. You remember all of the big shining locomotives were blowing by him on the rails. And this little engine, when all of them couldn't handle it, they hooked him up to a heavy load. Boy, I see my shout coming right there. I said, they hooked him up to a heavy load. Listen, let me tell you, as I said to you on last week, you need to remind people that what I look like don't limit what I can do. Yeah. You in fact, you ought to put that in your repertoire. You ought to tell folks, don't underestimate me because I'm short. Don't underestimate me because I ain't got no whole lot of money. Don't underestimate me because I come from such and such a place. What I look like does not limit what I can do. So they hooked him up, Sister Anderson, to a heavy load. And things were going fine in the flatlands. I feel my help right there, Sister April. So, some of us are good in the flatlands. Yeah, when ain't no restriction, no conflict. When things are going hunky-dory, a whole lot of us are fine in the flatlands. But when the hills come. Yeah. So the little engine got to a hill and the other engines were laughing at him, said he'll never make it. Other engines, you ever notice that there are more folk at the bottom waiting on you to come down than folk at the top waiting to receive you. Amen. That's why the writer taught you a lesson. What's the lesson, Pastor? I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. Let me tell you something. You're going to discover that there are a whole lot of folk in your bottom territory that don't mind pulling you down. But there are few folk that have ever gone up top and said, come on up yonder. I'm convinced of God that the reason why you have to look up and not look down is because what you want is better than where you came from. Say amen, somebody. Whole lot of us, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, but that's not where I want to live. You got to learn how to press toward the high ground. One thing I like about the little engineer, he didn't listen to his distractors.
rumblings. As I told you last week, I'm going to hurry along. I told you, you got to get over the rumblings, the renegades, and the rumors. Yeah, you're going to always have folk who will try to break you down rather than build you up. Am I right about it? You got more folk that will siphon the gas out your tank than to give you $2 to put in another gallon. And so it is. He starts up the hill. Jess, I didn't forget where I was. He starts up the hill and in the midst, Sister Carrie, of all of his distractors, what he does is what most of y'all got to learn how to do. Listen, if what you're hearing from the outside don't sound good, start talking to yourself. Y'all don't know where to shout here. Listen, if the folk around you are saying the wrong thing, you got to learn how to talk to yourself. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to learn, listen, folk try to act like talking to yourself is a bad thing, but talking to yourself is a good thing when what other folks saying don't make no sense. Am I right about it? Look at your neighbor and say, you can be quiet now. I got it from here. I can tell myself, I think I can. Listen, and listen what happened, April. Is the steeper the grade got, the more encouraging he got. He started out saying, well, it looks pretty high from here. And he started chugga-chugga-chugga. And he started going a little further, and he chugga-chugga-chugga. And the more he chugga-chugga, the more he chugga-chugga. And can I tell you something now? If you just keep picking them up and putting them down, you'll discover that you will make progress. Let me drop a little note here. For some of y'all who are still stuck where you've been for so long, it's because you ain't moving. If you think the world around you gonna move, you got another thing coming. You better learn how to talk to yourself. You gotta learn how to chugga chugga. You gotta throw some more coal on the fire. Listen, if you gotta get another hit, but you better talk to yourself. And he says, I think I can. And what you'll discover in the story is the more he pressed, the louder he got. He kept saying, I think I can. And that's when that motor start churning real good. Look at your name, Tim. You got to put your weight on it. He kept on talking. I think I can. And before he knew it, he got to the top and said, look at what I done. And I believe, beloved of God, that when you get to the top of your mountain, because you had some success, you'll start looking for mountains. Rather than enjoying downhill, your downhill just tells you it's another uphill coming. And so what I want to encourage you to understand is that when other folk around you are saying you can't, you better learn how to tell yourself that you can. He reminded me, he said, well, listen, the critics are there. They're saying, y'all can't get this wall done. Y'all bunch of poor and feeble Jews. Y'all don't have no architectural information. Y'all don't know how to set stone. Y'all don't know nothing about putting things together. And can I tell you something? What I don't know, I'll go ask my cousin. Say amen, somebody. Everybody in the room knows somebody that knows something. Am I right about it? And so what they did is they formed a community. And beloved of God, Greater Brookville, that's what we've got to learn how to do. Instead of trying to perform as individuals, we've got to learn how to form a community. The Bible says that Nehemiah came to them and they initially said, let's get it done. If you'll take time in your Bible, don't do it now because I'll lose you. But if you go back to chapter 2, you will discover that the first time Nehemiah said, let's do this, the Bible said they all said, let's do it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that church folk funny. Oh, yeah, everybody want to build a new church. When we say, let's do it. But when it gets hard, folk get amnesia. Yeah, everybody wants to do the great thing. They said, let's do it. Now, notice, beloved of God, that your initial let's do it is before anything gets done. Pastor, pull over and explain your foolishness, boy. What I'm saying is you always got folk who will say let's and ain't nothing happen. But when let's turn into let's, then you got folk want to bail out on the project. Notice now, it is now chapter 4 in the story. We'll hurry along. It's now chapter 4 in the story. And Nehemiah has had a project meeting. All of the project leaders are in there. And he's getting an update on the progress. And somebody makes a motion. Can I preach a little bit here? Somebody makes a motion. Says, excuse me, Brother Nehemiah, first giving honor to God.
brother deacons and trustees, project leaders, and other coordinators from the regions all around us, I think there's too much rubble to be moved. I think that there's too much work ahead of us. I think that we have overextended ourselves. And the text said that they declare that we'll never be able to get this done by ourselves. I feel my help here, April, because it leads me into the second point of the text. The first thing I told you is you got to listen to your leaders. And they did that because they listened to their leaders, got started. It got to the hard part. Let me tell you what happens when you get to the hard part. Let me tell you what happens when you get to the hard part. When you get to the hard part, that's when you got to take your eyes off men and look to the master. Second point is they look to the Lord. Nudge your neighbor and say, I knew he was going to say that. They look to the Lord. And watch what happens, Jesse. The Bible says now that because they stayed focused now, but they ran into a place of frustration. Can I tell you that good focus will always have some hint of frustration? What are you saying, Pastor? Well, Melvin, what I'm saying is sometimes the more you look at that thing, the harder it looks. But you got to stay focused. And being focused will cause frustration. How many of you, if y'all can help me along through here, if you can just wave back at me, don't say nothing because folk will think you're trying to be funny. But how many of you can look at me and just give me a little sign that when you looked at something, that's when you got frustrated? How many of you can testify that your inner testimony is, if I had known it was going to take all this, I would have never got involved. Come on, talk to me. Now, I know I got some deacons want to say, I'd have never got ordained if I'd have known being a deacon required all of this. Yeah. Some trustees are sitting here thinking, I'd have never known if I had known I got to change bulbs and rake the yard and pick up trash, I'd have never signed on to be no trustee. Ain't no way in the world. I got some preachers, Reverend Tucker, don't you duck around here. I know what you're saying. If I had known dealing with God's folk was like this, I would have kept preaching in my garage to myself because it is more than I anticipated. Look at your neighbor and say, listen, being overwhelmed don't mean you're overmatched. Y'all ain't hollering like I thought you would. Just because I'm overwhelmed don't mean I'm overmatched. I know the devil think he got me, but listen to me. Listen, they got a halftime in everything. They got a seventh inning stretch. They got a little break they take, and you get to drink your Gatorade and get yourself together and get back out there. Slap your neighbor and tell him, you better get back out there. You've been sitting over here on the bench crying to the east and crying to the west. You're sitting here talking about, I'm not going back out there to score. They way ahead of us, and we can't make no runs. We can't make no hit. Let me tell you something right now. It don't take but one hit to get it started. Say amen, somebody. So they look to the Lord. And watch this now. Why did they look to the Lord, April? Well, I'm glad you came and sat up front because you know preaching. I can talk to you. They look to the Lord. Why? Why would they look to the Lord? Well, because they wanted to reflect on his reputation. Yeah. When you look to the Lord, you can reflect on his reputation. Why would they do that? Well, remember now, Mary, this is what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah says that one of the reasons I came back to help y'all is because God has been good to me. It's right there in the text. Nehemiah comes and he says that one of the reasons I am going to take this project is because I know that God has been good to me. And what he says is, Wanda, I know what he's saying. I got it now. When Nehemiah says God has been good to me, what he's really saying is he did it before, he can do it again. Y'all ain't talking to me. How many of you know that God's got a good reputation? I wish I had some witness in here could just wave back at me and tell your neighbor that, baby, what you're going through ain't nothing. Because what God did for me, listen, the situation I was in ain't nothing like you. Listen, the Negro I was married to ain't nothing like that guy you're going out with. The way they treated me on my job ain't nothing compared to you being a supervisor. The lies they told on me, the things I've been through. In fact, I heard Jess say last Sunday, listen, I looked to the Lord. I knew that God had brought other folk out. And how many know that whatever God has done for anybody else, God is now obligated to do it for me? Somebody ought to look up toward heaven and say, God, because you blessed this woman here, because you blessed that big head brother there, God, you owe me one. How many know God owes you one?
Listen to me. I'm telling you now that they reflected on his past reputation. But what I love about reflecting on his past reputation, encourage me about his present opportunity. Help me, somebody. Because God has done great things in the past, it tells me that God likes to show out. That's why the writer said he's an old time God. Yes, he is. How many know that God is ready to do something in your life? God is ready to take you a little bit higher. God is ready to take you a little bit further. All you got to do is sign up, stand up, and step out. It's written in the text. There's an automatic text. There's an automatic text. Because what Nehemiah does is tell them about the gracious hand of God. That's why the Bible said, Deacon Anderson, and they overcame by the words of their testimony. Can I tell you that some of y'all too quiet around here? Some of y'all, God been too good to y'all. Be sitting up here with y'all arms folded up and pimping and flashing and shading on God. Some of y'all ought to be running up here grabbing the mic saying, I know I ain't supposed to be up here, but Pastor, I'm telling you now, God has been gracious to me. Pastor, I know I ain't got no business interrupting this service, and I don't mean to prolong it because you preach long enough all by yourself. Thank you very much. But Pastor, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I can't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me, it ain't just that he woke me up this morning. It's not just the food on my table. It's not these rags on my back. It's not the few nickels in my pocket. It's the fact that God delivered me. I was in a terrible confusion. I had my mind messed up. I was strung out and about to be strung up. But the Lord lifted me from the mud, out of the mire. God delivered me. Is there anybody here that can tell somebody, I know he's able? Anybody know he's able? Yeah, he said, listen, God's been good to me. Rest yourself, I'm just about there. He said, not only has God been good to me, but Nehemiah says that I know y'all can't do it by yourself. Remember what they said in the text there, Deacon. They said that God, we can't do this by ourselves. They said to God that we're not able. So what Nehemiah says, whole equation to Mika, is that God will give us success. Look at a name and say, neighbor, you don't have to do it. God's will be done. Woo, y'all missed the shout. See, some of y'all been trying to fabricate and connive and hook and crook. But what I believe the Lord is saying is, just watch what I'm going to do. Let me be the supervisor. Let me be the project coordinator. Let me put the white hat on. Let me step in and I'll show you success. That's why God said you got to learn how to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. You got to learn how to let me not only be the bridge, but I'll also pay the toll. You got to learn how to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You got to learn how to step out on your faith, stand up in your faith. You got to learn that God will give you success.
He reminded, he said, listen, God don't give us success. So not only Dr. Dixon, did they reflect on his past, but they relied on him, watch this now, not only as rescue, but also resource. Y'all missed it. See, some of y'all do testify that the Lord brought you out. The Lord delivered you. The Lord was your very present help in the time of your struggle. But some of y'all don't shout that he's a resource. Yeah, see, some of y'all know Philippians when Paul says, and my God shall supply. But the only time you say that is when you want something for you. I've been getting in trouble along through here. You say that when you want a car and a house and you want to have clothes and you want a Gucci and a Fendi bag and you want some diamonds and pearls and you say that. But I'm trying to convince the church that if you stop saying we can't, God will show us that he can. And you got to remember that God is our resource. Yeah, we can ask and it shall be given. We can seek and it shall be found. And the problem is, there are too many couch Christians sitting around with a remote in your hand and popcorn in your lap and a Dr. Pepper, you too lazy to get up and do it for yourself, that God might meet you in the halfway place. But the fact of the matter is, everything we need is in God. Pastor, the bank ain't gonna prove it. Pastor, the folk ain't with us. Pastor, they ain't doing, Pastor, she ain't. God is our resource. You don't need no high credit score with God. In fact, I'm convinced that God don't look at credit scores. Because all of us in the I.O. department anyhow, they relied on him as a resource. How do you know that, Pastor? Because if you read that story, and I'm just about there, you read that story, Crystal, what you'll discover is they never went to Home Depot. They didn't go to Lowe's. They didn't go down to Taylor Brothers. The text said they didn't do no imports. Everything they had, watch this. Be careful, trustees. We may not have shout insurance for this one. What they discovered was everything they needed was already there. Y'all missed it. No, no, no. What do you say? Listen. Deacon Walker, read the story. You will discover that the same stuff that was broke down and tore up is the same stuff that they build up and set up. They didn't get new walls. They didn't get new bricks. They didn't get new mortar. They took what the enemy destroyed and turned it around and blessed God. Y'all missed it. I'm telling you now, some of y'all sitting here weeping and whining over the broke up stuff in your life. The same stuff that the enemy broke up is the same stuff that God will build up. They didn't go shopping. They didn't wait on the truck. It was there. We sit around here like we waiting on another Brookville to come. We is the Brookville. We sit right here talking about we waiting on more money. We is the money. It's more money in here right now. Same stuff that they were standing looking at talking about it's too much became just enough. That again, as I told you, just because I'm overwhelmed don't mean I'm overmatched. Some of y'all right now can go home and look at some broke up stuff and say, man, I can do something with this. They relied on God as rescue and resource. Now, watch this now. They also, here it is, this is easy. They also refuse to be rejected. What are you saying, Pastor? That's right in the text. Because when Tobiah and Sambalat and all them start talking that trash, they say, man, we don't want to hear that stuff. Every now and then, you got to tell your critics to step off. Y'all scared. You know, all y'all got some people in y'all life that y'all want to tell them, step off. Matter of fact, everybody get out the cell phone right now and let's text three people that we want. No, don't do it. Okay, let's tweet them. No, don't do that either. But here it is. Here it is. They relied on him. But they refuse. And you got to learn, beloved God, that whenever rejection comes, it's not from God. Oh, that's a free shout right along through there. God don't reject us. Now let me I put a little note here. Now, no don't mean rejection. Sometimes no is necessary. Let me see if I can dance right here. I like the music. Some of y'all in this room right now know good and well that when God said no, it saved your life. All right. Yeah. You go on and cry if you want to. You act like you trying to be cute all you want to. But you and I both know that when God said no, in retrospect, as grandma said, when I look back over my life and think things over, you so glad that God said no back in 1968 that you don't know what to do. You, in fact, let me see if I can get a free shout there. Jess, don't you outshout nobody when I say this. But there are something that you said yes to, and God said no, that you wish you'd have went with God no. Miss Mitchell, you weren't supposed to stand up right long through there. People will take that the wrong way. Sit down, sit down. You understand, beloved of God, that there are times when you have to refuse rejection. The kind of rejection that comes from your distractors. They're trying to tell you what God won't do. You got to show them what God will do. There are folk that say we can't build no church. There are folks say we can't disciple 1,000 lives. There are folks that say we can't be no different than no other church. But the devil is a liar. The God we serve says, ask and it shall be given. If you bind up the enemy and build up the kingdom, I'm with you. And so it is that they listen to their leaders, they look to the Lord. And then this last one, harmony. You don't have to sit down because it's going to get good right along through here. When they listen to their leaders, look to the Lord. The last one is the load got lighter. Y'all missed that shout. I'm telling you now that when you listen to your leaders and you look to the Lord, the load is going to get lighter. Y'all don't see it. Okay, in 52 days, they were done. Listen, Miss Scott, don't pass out. There ain't a project manager from here to Tupelo that won't tell you that there is no way they could have built this wall in 52 days. Tamika, can I borrow a nursery rhyme? All the king horses and all the king men could not have put Humpty together again. But when they, watch this now, when they listened, the load got lighter. But here the shout that they listened and the load got lighter. But what I want to tell you is you got to keep on lifting. Y'all missed it. I said they listened and the load got lighter, but you got to keep on lifting. In other words, watch this now. The text reveals that they stood and steadied themselves because when they got frustrated, remember now, they got overwhelmed. They felt like we can't get this done, but the text show they steadied themselves. Listen, this is akin to April when you're watching a movie and you notice somebody panicking. There's always somebody that come along and slap the orange juice out of you. You know, you got that person when people are panicking and frustrated. There's always somebody that'll come along and just haul off. You know, okay, y'all ain't dark enough. Let me find me some dark folk. You know, somebody that just haul off, reach down into Alabama and bring up a handful of encouragement and just knock you dizzy. And you say, well, you hit me like that? But they say, get your stuff together. You better come on here. They stand, thank you, Deacon Campbell. Somebody that'll say, tighten up. And so it is. They stood and steadied. Watch this, though. But when they stood together. It says that in every area, in every quadrant, they were working together. I said that some of them that were cunning with the sword had the sword, and some of them that were cunning with labor and tools had their tools, but they stood together. God help me along through here. Deacon Walker, I'm going to get in trouble, but I've been in trouble before. One of the problems that has kept us from becoming a greater church is that we spend too much time striking each other rather than standing with each other. Come on, preacher, say what you want to say. I'm telling you now that it's right in the text, Mother Davis, that when the people of God come together, there's nothing we cannot do. Listen, some of us are good swordsmen, and some of us are good laborers, and some of us are good singers, and some of us are good water bearers, but all of us have got to work together. And so it is when they kept on lifting, the load got lighter. And what I'm trying to tell you now, for some of y'all who think that we're asking you to do too much and not asking them to do enough. No, we've got to all stand together. And so it is, beloved of God, when they stood together,
They steadied themselves, but they stayed on their feet. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, listen, we may have miles to go before we sleep, but we got to stay on our feet. The Bible says, wake up, O sleeper. Too many of us in the church are on sabbatical. Too many of us, you can't even spell it. Too many of us in the church are sitting around waiting for our special little project. Too many of us in the church are waiting for that thing that grabs my attention. But the fact of the matter is, the whole damn wall is down, and all of us have got to do something about it. You can't sit around waiting till we get to your little special part. We got to work over here and work our way toward you. But if you don't help us work over here, you're going to slow down our progress. You're going to leave us vulnerable to outside attacks. And so it is, we got to stay on our feet. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, grab yourself a red bull and get back out there. Neighbor, get you a power aid, but get back out there. Go ahead and get you a hit or whatever you need, but get back out there. Because unless we all lift together, this load ain't gonna get no lighter. The parking lot will never get done if we don't lift together. The roof will never get repaired if we don't lift together. The air conditioner, if we don't lift together, the vans are going to break down. If we don't lift together, our children will never be educated. If we don't lift together, lives will never be saved. If we don't lift together, we got to learn how to get up on our feet, turn the rocks and hide in your hand. Stop criticizing the vision. We got to get up on your feet because the whole damn wall is down and be no critic. Ain't no time for another agenda. There's no time to change capital of a storm. We got to stand on our feet, gird up our loin, sharpen our sword, get our bow and fiddle, and sing unto the Lord a new song. Look at your names and name them. If we all lift together, this thing will come up nice. If we all pull together, this thing will move faster. If we all stay together, the enemy can't get to us. We got to stand on our feet. Second thing is, sit down for a minute. I feel my help all by myself. Not only did they stand together, but the Bible showed that they stopped listening to fools. You got to learn how to stop letting your cousins that don't even come to Brookville, don't know where Brookville is, don't know nothing about Brookville, stop listening to fools. They can't tell you what we can do. They don't know nothing about us. They can't tell you where we can go. They don't even know where we going. They can't tell you our possibilities because they're not a part of the project. You got to learn how to close your ears, open your eyes, and stand on your feet. You got to stop listening to your distractors. That's why they call them distractors. They stop listening to them. They listen. You got to know whose voice is in your ear. Then watch this now. And in summary, they stood on their feet. They stopped listening to fools. I could stay there all day, but the time, Tashim, has gotten the best of me. But then the next thing, Deacon Davis, is a good one, is that they strengthen their fellow man. What are you saying, Pastor? It's right there. Jess, can I call on the ministry of music? Michael Jackson says, you are not alone. I am here with you. You got to understand, beloved of God, that I'm not asking Raven to do this by herself. I'm not asking Luther Palmer to come in and save us. But what I'm saying is, when we all pull together, when we all focus together, when we strengthen our fellow man, look at one neighbor and say, listen, I realize that you're not as strong as I am. But if I add what little bit you got, we both get stronger. Now, see, I know what I did. I know that some of y'all want to be on the other side of that because you didn't want to be the weaker vessel. So some of y'all probably, when somebody looked at you and said, you're not as strong as I am, you look at them and say, oh, yes, I am. That's the kind of spirit I'm really trying to generate, because I'm not going to let nobody tell me what I'm not. When God told me what I is, y'all missed the shout right there. You got to understand, beloved of God, that God says you're the head and not the tail.
God said that you're more than a conqueror. God said you can do all things. God said you belong to me. And so what we do is we strengthen our fellow man. Why? Because we can't walk and agree unless we walk in and agreeing on the same thing. The Bible says, listen, we can't be unequally yoked with one another. And so what I'm saying is we got to learn how to strengthen our fellow man. Instead of throwing rocks and criticizing folk that don't tithe, we got to strengthen them to tithe. Instead of criticizing who don't come to Bible study, we got to swing by and encourage them to come to Bible study. Instead of criticizing folk with bad marriages and bad relationships and bad financial decisions, we got to strengthen our fellow man. We got to look at folks and say, listen, I see the condition that you're in. In other words, can I do one more? I just stopped by to see what condition your condition was in. And now that I realize your condition is all torn down, all the king's horses and all the king's men have been summoned to your location. In other words, look at your name and say, neighbor, we're getting ready to go now. And this one's for you. I want you to know, neighbor, that if you need me, you can call me. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from helping you. I've made you my assignment. And before I leave today, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to remind you that you can listen to the leader. I will remind you that you can look to the Lord. I will remind you that the load is going to get lighter. Can I get some more help around here? Come here, Miss Seeley. I need your help around here. Miss Seeley, help me understand. Why would you stay with a man like Mister? Why would you put up with his shenanigans? Why would you let him beat you down like that? Because on the inside, I knew there's a God somewhere. I knew that Miss Sophia was right. I knew that Miss Sophia had something to offer. That's why when I looked at Sophia and she couldn't read that list, I read it for her. When she couldn't find them apples and raisins, I went and got them for. Why? Because I am my sister's keeper. And when my sister needs my help, when my brother needs my help, I'm not going to let the world beat him down. When Miss Millie couldn't drive the car, Sophia could. When Miss Millie couldn't find a way, Sophia could. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that everybody plays a role. You may not be good at this thing, but you sure can do that thing. You may not have what some folk got, but what you got is what God gave to you. Look at your name and say, baby, use what you got, because if you don't use it, we gonna lose it, and we can't lose around here. We got to learn how to gird up our loins. We got to learn how to point our fingers and tell our neighbor, tell our distractors, till you do right by me, till you give me my glory, till you give me my chance, till you loose me and let me go, God ain't gonna be happy. But look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I decided that he walks with me, he talks with me, and because God can, and because God is, I can, and I am. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than able. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, yes, I can. Yes, I can. If God said it, that settles it. I can do all things. Look at another name and say, well, what you gonna do? I'm gonna give my tithe. I'm gonna give my help. I'm gonna lend my prayers. I'm gonna lend my strength. As for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Can I get somebody that can tell somebody, I've changed my modus operandi today. I'm no longer on the sideline. I'm about to get in there. I'm about to go for it. I'm about to raise up my game. I'm about to step up my tide, because God is a good God. Is there anybody here that's ready to go, go, go? Anybody here ready to try again? Step out on faith. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Will God do it? Can God do it? Didn't God do it? Didn't God do it? Say it. Last thing. Not only did they stand together. Not only, beloved God, did they stop listening to fools. Uh-huh. And watch this, Deacon Anderson. Not only did they strengthen their fellow man, but you will discover that soon they will finish. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nudge another neighbor and say, it don't take all day to do nothing. Soon, they were finished. Yes, sir. 52 days. They were eating ginger snaps.
Come on.
Drinking lemonade. Sister Anderson brought a carrot cake. Sister Harmony brought that ginger cake. Sister Brody brought one of them big, what you call that cake with the red icing and red velvet cake. Somebody brought some Kool-Aid. Somebody also spiked the Kool-Aid. Thank you. We appreciate you. But they were finished.
Amen.
Watch this. 52 days prior, Deacon Walker, they were in construction. On the 53rd day, they were in celebration.
Yeah.
Y'all missed it. They were finished. And if you read the Bible, you have capital, you'll discover that they marveled at themselves. They had one of them good, healthy sisters broke out in a song singing, look what the Lord done.
Yes, sir.
She started putting that weight on that thing saying, look where he brought me from. You know, they went around. Oh, look where he brought me from. Yeah. I don't know the rest of it, but I got that part in. Oh, look where he brought me from. And so what it is, beloved God, y'all leave it alone because y'all done messed it up. Y'all put told me what it was. But they were finished. Here it is, Deacon Anderson. Here it is, Deacon Antrim. You can't get to the finish until you do the start. Now watch this now. Two things they did not do. They did not procrastinate based on the difficulty of the project. I mean they didn't sit around and go, you know. No. They did not procrastinate based on the difficulty of the project. Second thing they did not do is they did not, watch this is a big word, they did not divest themselves from the process. In other words, they didn't say, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't tear it down. I ain't gonna build it up. Pastor, you talking about some of us? Yes. I wish I could call names. You're not gonna get fired. I am. See, they didn't divest. They didn't say no. They invested. They said, you know what? Read the text. Bible said they worked by the fish gate. They worked by this gate. Everybody worked where they had their greatest impact. What are you saying? I'm saying every one of y'all in this room, even if you're a guest today, you have some impact based on your input. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you ain't gonna never have impact if you don't do the input. Anybody can sit around and criticize. It takes some real go-getters to invest. It takes some real faith to overcome your distractors and your own difficulties. I'm getting ready to go now. I've taken up too much of your time. But if you listen to the leaders, if you will look to the Lord, if you help us lift, the load's going to get lighter. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there's a lot of work around here to do. Ain't no way in the world you can't see that there's work to be done. But who told you can't? And whoever told you that, they lied. The God of your salvation says you can do all things. You know what I know, Melvin? I realize why God didn't put a list after that. He didn't tell Paul to go ahead and put the thing they can do. Because what we need to do is always changing. But notice what Paul does say. Paul says, it starts with the individual declaration of your personal determination that you might get involved with the destiny of those of which you have been
engaged. You know what I'm saying? Because if I come out, you can come out. If I can get up, you can get up. I can do all things. God then says, what would you like to do? I'm convinced of God that there is nothing impossible to them that believe. Don't make me preach the other part of this sermon, because in that story, there's a part where you had folk that their main problem was disbelief. Listen, here's a free one, Ozilia. You don't need nobody to believe in you until you believe in yourself. All the king's horses and all the king's men, if you don't believe in yourself, I can stand and talk in your ear all night long. I can be a motivational speaker. I can plug up your headphones. I can tweet you. And I keep telling you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. But until you believe in you, it's a waste of all our time. I can do it. And GBC, some of us need to start waking up every morning, looking in that mirror and say, I can do it. And immediately fall on your knees and then say, Lord, what would you have me do? Deacon Walker, I've discovered that some folk ain't got no problem with their personal agenda. Oh, yeah, as long as it's what you want. Some of y'all can go around the world and back again for you. What have you done for the Lord? Lord, what would you have me to do? Deacon Davis, you remember when I got in trouble about 9 years ago and I told him that we weren't going to have no more funerals where they automatically be singing, may the works I've done speak for me, especially if you ain't done no work. So I look at every funeral program, and they got that song, and I tell them, no, y'all can't do that one. That's the laziest joke we ever had in the church. That joke ain't never did nothing. I can do. So, Lord, what would you have me do? Don't raise your hand. We got to go. But how many of you are willing to admit that rarely do you even ask God that question? Don't raise your hand. I'm just going to take it by consensus that we're about close to the matter. They listen to their leaders. They look to the Lord. They all lifted together and the load got lighter. And I'll tell you, beloved of God, nothing is impossible. We can do this. We got to build a church. This one ain't working for us. Man came here the other day. I'm not going to turn this to a church meeting, but just let me tell you, we already know the wall has been deteriorating. That's falling apart. Water's still over there. Now the man comes and say, y'all got a mold problem. You know, when you got a mold problem, you got a moving problem. Mold is bad. Moving is good. We done did that once for a man. Said, no, y'all got a real problem again. How many times we going to do that? You know, beloved God, that George Jefferson went home and told Weezy, we moving. Weezy said, okay, George. And they moved to that deluxe apartment in the sky. And when they moved, it was for the betterment of everybody involved in the process. Sometimes, beloved of God, you have to tell yourself that where I am ain't good enough no more. It's not about being dissatisfied or ungrateful. I've said a long time ago, all of us need to have a divine dissatisfaction. How many of you have ever changed jobs? Just raise your hand. Okay, that was for you. How many of you have moved into at least one house or rented one apartment? How many of you still driving the same car you were driving 25 years ago? No, we always do stuff for us. You make the payments, you figure out the loan, you know. So what part of doing that for you can't you translate to doing a big thing for God? Anybody who ever bought a house know 360 months. That's what a 30-year mortgage equates to, 360 months. And you do it. Car payment. Now they're financing cars for 84 months. Can I give you a bit of advice? Deacon Walker's good with money. He'll take it. Don't buy no car and finance it for 84 months.
In the second year, it ain't worth nothing. You come out better getting your hoop to fix and trudging on a little further till you can save a little more money. 84 months? You know how long 84 months is? Marriages don't last that long no more. That's why I said that. So what I'm saying is, come on, let's do this for God. Let's stop listening to can't. We listen to the wrong people if they're telling us we can't. You can do all things. Go for that job. Go back to school. Get yourself together. Don't die like that. Don't die without trying. Be that little train. Every morning, get up and look in the mirror and say, Lord, I can do all things. Lord, what would you have me do? And in time, just tell him, I think I can. I think I can. Jess, can I do one more before we go? I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. If I just spread my wings. Okay, y'all don't know Deacon R. Kelly. But I believe that. I just think that if I try, nothing beats a failure but a try. And some of you, that's the reason you went back to school. Some of you, that's why you got up off the ground, dusted yourself off. So I ain't gonna die like this. I'm gonna try again. And so it is, beloved of God, that you gotta try. I'm telling you today, I'm issuing a moratorium on the word can't. The word can't is no longer authorized in the ministries or on the premises of the Greater Brookville Church. No more can'ts. Okay, that's about 12 of y'all. I'll take that 12. Amen. I'll take 12. I mean, the Lord turned the world around with 12. No more can't. Whatever we want to do, we're going to listen to the leader. We're going to look to the Lord. And we're going to lift the load together. And soon, we'll be finished. Let's stand on our feet today. I know I've taken up too much of your time. Yeah, it's been too much time. I just want to help you. To all of you today, here's my encouragement to you. If the people around you don't encourage you, don't press you. Some of you have been through some things in your life that the average person would have a hard time believing. I don't want to call any names, but I've talked to some of y'all. I see some of y'all. You keep on going. People don't know your real story. They don't know what you really went through. They don't know what's really going on with you. They just look at you and assume. Some of you are always hurting, but you're pressing. Some of you are just at your wick's end, but you keep pressing. Some of you have been told time and time again that you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not fast enough. You're not smart enough. But you won't quit. Some of you have been waiting on the promise, the promotion, waiting on the prosperity, waiting on the next providential move of God, but you won't quit. And people around you have quit, and people have asked you why you didn't quit, but you won't quit. Because the first quit is a hard quit. But every quit after that gets easier. And you can't quit. Mother Davis, the songwriter, said, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I want to encourage you, beloved of God, stop listening to your distractors. Stop being defeated before you even start the fight. And learn how to talk to yourself from the word of God. Sometimes you gotta say to yourself,
the most encouraging thing you're going to hear. And I believe, God, today that can't is a bad word. Can is a good word. I can do all things. And again, I want to start something while I have a chance. If you're in this room today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to tell you today that he loves you and he'll forgive you. He's already forgiven you. He's already paid for your sins. He's just been waiting on you to say yes. You've been all around the mulberry bush. You done ran down by Buck's Barn and Adam's Apple Grove. And here you are today in Greater Brookville Church, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm here. What? You're here because this is the day the Lord has made. And this is your day to accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. You have tried most everything and yet still have things you might try. But I ask you today, have you tried Jesus? I tried him and I found out that he's all right. And he'll take you just as you are. So I want to encourage you to come on out from where you are. Tell your neighbor, excuse me, I've got to go today because I don't know if I got another day. I don't know. All of us living on the same amount of time. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, we all got the same amount of time. One day. And this is your day. Don't you leave here without salvation being secured. This is not about joining our church. This is about giving your life to Christ. You give your life to Christ, I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit will show you the right church. But give your life to Christ. Because you're not going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you're not going to give your life to Christ. So I need you to make a decision today. You need to make a decision for you, for your family, for your sons, your daughters. You need to decide today to make Jesus your choice. If you're in this room today, you've not accepted Jesus Christ. Trust God today that this is a good decision, that you will give your life to Christ. We got a great cloud of witnesses that can tell you that living with the Lord is all right. Having the Lord on your side as shepherd and keeper is mighty fine. If you're here today. Secondly, I want to say to you, if you're here in this room and you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you've struggled in your journey, you've had some setbacks, you've had some difficulties, can I tell you that you're not alone? If I were to ask those who've had setbacks and disappointments to raise their hand, you would probably discover that you've got a great cloud of witnesses. So if you've had setbacks, disappointments, if you wandered from the church, you stopped coming, you stopped believing, you got frustrated, but you want to come back, the doors are open to restoration, reconciliation, and you can begin your revival in the Lord. Because God loves you. God's not going to judge you as a runaway. He looks at you as the redeemed. God doesn't see you as a renegade. He sees you as the redeemed. You have been bought with a price. And he says, come on back. You can be repatriated today because you have a home in Christ Jesus. Your true life is in Christ Jesus. Would you come back to him today? No letter of apology, no excuses needed. Just, Lord, I'm here standing before you as humble as I know how. Then lastly today, if you are looking for a church home, our doors are open for Christian discipleship. We want you to come and be a part of our family. We really believe that we can make a difference. And the difference we make in your life will make a difference in the life of many others. This is not a secret club. This is not a fraternity with a handshake or sorority with a secret sign. We are Christians. And we want our light to shine that when men, women see, they glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Our doors are open to you because you matter to us. You've been standing here with us. We've celebrated the word together. You fit right in. We're all the same in so many ways. It's good to be home. So our doors are open. Maybe you're standing here today and you can't make that decision. And we pray, God, for you that you'll make it before it's too late. But we want to pray with you today. If you've had sickness in your family, sickness in your life, we want to pray with you today. Step out and come down close with us. We want to pray for you. Maybe you want to stand for somebody who's not able to stand for themselves. want to pray with you today. Maybe it's a son, or maybe it's a daughter, maybe it's a friend, a stranger. Somebody walked by your workstation and said, listen, when you go to church Sunday, would you pray for me? They admitted to you that they don't go, but they know you go. And they said, look, I just need you to pray for me. I can't tell you all about what's going on, but I just know that if you just lift up my presence into the Lord's presence, I can't tell you, I'm ashamed of what I want to say, I can't say, but if you'll just pray for me. Maybe today you just need to pray that the Lord will help you steady your feet, that the Lord will get you your strength back, Lord will get your sight back. You got blinded by some things and you just want to see again. If you can just get a little higher, God will just allow you a glimpse of the greater glory that is in Christ Jesus. It's a job. I need a job. I need to pay some bills. I need to get some things caught up, Lord. And I don't know where it's going to come from, but I need to ask you, would you supply my need according to your riches and glory? Maybe you just need to make a new deal with God. No need us acting like we don't make deals with God, because we do. There's probably not one of us in here that has not said, Lord, if you get me out of this, this is what I'll do. And we did or we didn't. But the fact of the matter is, God has a faithful plan for every one of you. So for your sons and your daughters, your husbands, your wives, maybe today you just want to come and tell him thank you. Lord, I'm at the point in my life where I recognize that it sure wasn't because I was so wonderful that I made it this far. I just want to tell you thank you. Some of you have some important decisions coming up. You've got to go to court. You've got to get an x-ray read. You're waiting on test results. So we want to stand with you today and say, be faithful. We cannot tell you what the doctors will say. We cannot tell you what the judge will do. We cannot tell you what the lawyer is making a deal to do. But we will tell you to be faithful. Whatever God is doing, he's going to do it faithfully. And you can trust him. Whether we're up or down, thick or thin, straight or flush, God's going to be faithful. Some of you are going to be traveling this week, as I will be traveling this week, and we've got to rely on the professionalism of others. We've got to rely on the professionalism of the pilot, the engineer. We've got to rely on the professionalism of the driver. And so we need God to be a fence all around us. We need God to give us traveling mercies. And we need favor when we arrive in that place. And we need to leave favor when we go. Because we want to leave our mark everywhere we go. And so we're praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, these few have come forward with their personal concerns, and they're laying them before you. They're releasing from their hands and their knapsacks and their backpacks the burdens, extra baggage. Some have fears, some have concerns, some have doubts, some have been distracted, but Lord, we're going to bring it right here, right now, and let you have it. An old song, Lord, we sing down here that says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Some of us really, Lord, are coming to just say thank you. We're just happy as we can be, and things are going very well, and we really just want to tell you thank you that things are going the way they are. Some of us on the edge of a breakthrough. Some of us have already got a breakthrough. We finally got that job, Lord, that we were praying for. We finally got that report that we've been waiting for. Lord, they said yes, and we're going to get that house. They said yes, and we can get the car. They said yes, and our children are going off to colleges and universities. They said yes. But Lord, what we do know and do celebrate is before man said yes, you said yes. And you've used people to bless us. You've used banks, and you've used doctors and nurses. You've used family members to make your yes come to pass. Truly, if it had not been for the Lord, it was on our side. in that hospital room, on that bed of affliction, in the courtroom, even, Lord, when we were in the jail cell, you were God Almighty. Nothing is impossible. I'm holding somebody's hand right now, Lord, and I want to hold their hand in faith that what they stand in need of, you will supply. Your reputation is good among this people. You're not only a rescue, but a resource. And Lord, we remember. God, thank you today that we're still yet alive in a sound mind, able, Lord, to go a little further. And we've come too far to turn back now. Yes, we can. Yes, we will. And soon, Lord, we will be able to celebrate. Yes, we did. God, we thank you today. Thank you for the preachers, the deacons, the trustees, and all of these co-laborers together. Grant us that thy will be done. Forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us, dear sir. Now, Lord, as we turn from this place, but never your presence, God, don't ever let us go. Hold on to us in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Hug at least four or five folks. Say something nice to them. And pray God will see you again real soon.